The artist, Stuart Davis, my guest tonight. We're going to talk to him about that song, how it relates to our subject matter. He's created something called, or co-founded something called, the Experiencer Group with Jay King and Kirsten Blackburn. I guess they met on the air and shared some common experiences or similar experiences. We're going to get that story, what the group is all about, what experiences they had that brought them together, right after this on Coast to Coast AM. Stuart, a note about that song before we move on. Why you wrote it, what it says.
Yeah, that song is a connect point to what we've been talking about and the larger umbrella of the anomalous and what it is to grow and develop as human beings, really. Because one of the funny and powerful things about these experiences is that they are developmental drivers. It's very one of the things I've come to love and appreciate is that these objects change the subjects that experience them, encounter them. And so that song, Ladder, is really about our collective human growth and unfolding and the precarious bargain that comes with that evolution, which is that instead of cleanly, neatly moving forward, it's as though we inhabit and include more and more, like a sphere that's moving in all directions. And so the worse gets worse, the better gets better, the higher gets higher. But we are at such a, I don't think it's any great insight to simply note that we are at a very interesting fulcrum collectively. And as that song makes reference, somewhere between an ape and an angel is the human being, which possessed of all of the best and worst of both. So, yeah, I appreciate that you played that, actually.
You know, we've talked about it so much. My term for it is sort of the unifying theory of weirdness, trying to look for the commonalities between the different kinds, seemingly different kinds of subjects that we talk about on this program. The listeners are probably tired of me saying it, but, you know, the UFO people hate each other, let alone any Bigfoot people. The Bigfoot people don't like the ghost hunters. Everybody doesn't like everybody. There's the subcategories of the crypto people and the near-death experiencers and the, you know, the out-of-body folks and the remote viewers, and they all just don't get along at all, and they all think everybody else is crazy. But there are commonalities between them, and it seems like that's where your new project is headed, the Experiencer Group, which tries to look for commonalities in these bizarre, supernatural, paranormal, unsettling experiences that people have, right?
Absolutely. And I love how you introed the Experiencer Group, because that landscape that you're relating about, these various modalities of anomalous experience and research, there, the infighting is real. You know, there is a bit of a conflict syndrome that often attends this stuff, but that is actually one of the things we're most excited and passionate about with the Experiencer Group, is that we believe not only is it possible to have positive, supportive, anomalous culture, but we really feel like it is time. We're actually way overdue to get rid of the stigma, get rid of the trolls, and build a truly curious, deep community of people supporting each other in this very difficult and tricky mystery that we're all tracking from time to time. And so far, that has been what the Experiencer Group has been. And we feel that it's going to create a sanctuary where a whole different kind of discourse and support can happen for these experiencers. So yeah, that's one of the raison d'etre for us, is wanting that to happen, because you'll hear from Jay and Kirsten here in a moment, all three of us as experiencers knew we wanted that. And so really it was about creating something that we loved and wanted to have as part of our world.
The three of you are on Richard Dolan's forum. You haven't met before, but you're all on the program in this forum at the same time.
Yeah, we did meet on the forum. So Richard has been so wonderful and supportive, and gave us not only a blessing, but has helped us in many turns, and along with his wife, Tracy. And we, Jay, Kirsten, and I met on the Richard Dolan forums. And this emerged from that. It was less than a year ago, actually, that we met.
Well, Jay King and Kirsten Blackburn, welcome to Coast to Coast. Glad to have you here.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here, Josh.
Jay, let's start with you. What was the experiences that you were having growing up that brought you to that forum and brought you to meet with Stuart and Kirsten?
Sure. Yes. I as a lot of experiencers have, you know, there's a searching mode that happens, you know, where you're trying to make sense, you know, of what happened to you. You're trying to square it away with what is often called like consensus reality, right? And you know something happens to you, and you think like, you know, that wasn't supposed to happen. Like according to popular culture, that wasn't the thing that was supposed to happen. And you know, as much as like, you know, ghosts or aliens or anything like that exist within like TV or popular culture, we find ourselves in this weird situation, this weird schism, you know, as a people, you know, in the world, where it's like we can watch all these movies and TV shows about aliens or ghosts or near-death experiences or out-of-body experiences, cryptozoology, all this kind of stuff, and then you know, in day-to-day life, there's this kind of like pressure that somehow that's supposed to be like repressed or not supposed to happen. So, you know, like a lot of experiencers, I was kind of like looking for the most legitimate places that I could find. And of course, Richard Dolan is, you know, along with you and Leslie and a bunch of other wonderful people, are some of the most, you know, kind of like receipt oriented, you know, the most kind of like factual based, evidence based people that you could find on these kinds of subjects. And so I was just, you know, I had a lot of experiences when I was a child and continuing through adult life. And, you know, at various points, like I felt like a lot of experiencers, I felt like I was going to lose my mind, you know, honestly, like this stuff can be really, really challenging to contend with. And so you want to find resources online. And so, at a certain point, I started watching Richard and Richard's show with Tracy, Intelligent Disclosure, on YouTube. And I was just like, wow, this guy is awesome. You know, he's not just, you know, the third nerdiest guy on Ancient Aliens. This guy's got like a lot going on, you know. and what happened was is that like I met Kirsten on the Richard Dolan forum, and Kirsten was already working for Richard and his wife Tracy as an assistant, and was kind of working on the site side. Like Richard Dolan has his members site, she was helping as kind of like a site host, right? And so basically what happened was is that we found out that Kirsten lives in New York and I live in the New York City area. I live in Jersey City. And we were like, gosh, we should have meetup groups. We should meet up in person. And so we started meeting up and with some other people from the Richard Dolan Forum before the pandemic. And what happened was we found these like really amazing connections, you know, and mm-hmm. what really kind of like one of the crazy, like amazing things with the experiencer group is that part of the germinating element here was that there was this kind of amazing moment at a diner one day, where there was just about six or seven of us around a table that were all, that were all fans of Richard and had been like participating on his site and things like that. And we're sitting around with our coffee or in our New York City diner pie or whatever it was that we had in front of us. And Kirsten actually like posed this question, and it was just a way like to kind of introduce ourselves to each other. And it was like, how did you kind of like get into this? Why are you interested? And what happened was, you know, we went around the table and I was kind of like about last to go. And I was thinking to myself, am I going to not say the truth here again? You know, am I going to like, I just love UFOs because it's popular culture, or am I going to say the truth that I'm an experiencer, you know? And I did it. You know, I kind of came out to this small group of people, and it was the most people that I'd ever talked about with regard to this, people that I hadn't experienced stuff with me before that. And afterward, and it was like, afterwards, like, there's just this amazing quality where it was like a really huge bonding moment for Kirsten and I, where like, I was kind of like, there's like railroad tracks. On the one side, I was like, oh my God, that felt amazing. It felt amazing to just tell the truth. And on the other, and like the other railroad track was like, what the heck did I just do? Like it was terrifying, you know, at the same time. And so that's how Kirsten and I met. And eventually Kirsten asked, Richard needed more help on the site. And so I started working with her. And then we actually started during the pandemic. We got the idea that it was time to we started working on some confidential Zoom meetups, basically some confidential online groups, to so that experiencers could talk to each other. And Stuart showed up for the very first session.
Could I just capsule? I don't want to draw too much out that you may not want to say on this platform, but the experiences that you've had along the lines of poltergeists, ghosts, shadow people, paranormal things growing up.
Sure. Yeah. When I was about 6 years old, and this is not the only place that this happened, but which was something that we can get into too. But like, when I was about 6 years old, I was living in a house in Mishawaka, Indiana. It was this big old house, and what happened was is that like there was the beginning, like the very first day that that we started moving in. Of course, I was six, so I didn't participate in a lot of the moving parts, like getting into that house. But what happened was the first night, like some of my dad's an engineer, and a lot of his old kind of like engineering manuals and textbooks, like, were some of the first things to come out of the moving truck. And so they used hand carts, the movers, to get them down into the basement before actually our mattresses came out, so that we could sleep that first night. And or at least that's what I recall. So like the first night, a bunch of boxes, huge heavy book boxes, go downstairs, and they're stacked up. They just kind of like, you know, four or five up, whatever the handcart could carry down these stairs. And in the morning, I remember hearing kind of like alarm from downstairs. And I went downstairs, and what we'd experienced that first night was that those book boxes, sometime in the middle of the night, they had been kind of like arranged almost like a checkerboard pattern over the whole floor of this unfinished basement, in some kind of like reality bending way. And there were a lot of questions between my parents about like, did somebody break into the house? Why would somebody do this? But later that same day, my mom was passing through the kitchen and saw that not only was the oven on, but the door was open to the oven. And she just stopped abruptly. It was the first time she'd ever kind of experienced something like this. And she just kind of like said out loud to whoever was listening, like, this is my house now, you can't do that.
I want to hold on, Jay. I know there's more to your story that I want to hear, but I wanted to bring Kirsten into this segment here before we go to a break.
Absolutely.
Kirsten, can you sort of share a general idea of your own anomalous experiences? And did you have a similar experience to Jay in that it was tough to go ahead and say it out loud?
Well, you know, my experience was happened so long ago, and I didn't actually see it as anomalous at the time. Basically, I grew up in Silicon Valley in the 1970s, before it was really Silicon Valley. I grew up in Palo Alto. And, of course, that was where Stanford Research Institute started, and they were doing the remote viewing program, and there was a lot going on in the area. at the time. And I actually, we knew about SRI, but the funny thing was, is that everything was very secret. But at my elementary school, we talked about ESP all the time. It was like a subject that the kids just loved to talk about. But that aside, I later found out actually that I went to school with Russell Targ's kids, although I didn't know them. But that's where I grew up. And one day while I was about 6 years old, so this was 6 or 7 years old, this would have been in the early 70s, we were all out in the playing field, and all of a sudden this lacy white substance started falling from the sky. It was like so bizarre. And I remember looking up and thinking to myself as a little kid, like, this, there's something weird about this. And when it fell to the ground, I actually picked it up and it dissolved in my fingers and melted away. And, you know, all of a sudden, all the teachers came out and they said, you know, kids, you have to go inside. We don't know what this is. And so they took us inside. And later that day, because there was a lot of excitement over this, later that day, we were told, oh, that was spider webs. It's these kinds of spiders that migrate, and they're called parachuting spiders or something like that. So I forgot about it essentially for years until I was at Contact in the Desert in 2018, and I was listening to a lecture by Grant Cameron, and it was such a great lecture, and he mentioned the angel hair phenomenon, and he said, this is something that happened, you know, in the 1950s to the 1970s, and it was this sort of gelatinous white substance that fell from the sky, and, you know, by the time anybody picked it up or tried to get it into a lab, it had dissolved, and usually the, you know, the cover story for that was spider webs, and I sat up in my chair, and I thought, oh, my God, I kind of forgot this happened. But I realized after that lecture that it was after that happened. Well, first of all, as a kid, I remember hearing the spider web story and thinking to myself, now there's something not quite right about this story, because I didn't know spider webs like dissolved in your fingers and like disappeared. But you know, you're a kid, you're just going to trust whatever you're told. So anyway, I realized, during that lecture that it was after that that I became obsessed with anything paranormal. I was in the library reading books about, you know, Bigfoot and UFOs. I would study all the photographs I could find of UFOs at that age and just pore over every single book that I could find. And so that to me was kind of like my first paranormal experience. And oddly, with the experiencer group, we have a member who basically within the last several days, and she gave me permission to tell everybody this, she basically corroborated my story, because she was in the same area in Palo Alto, probably within a year of when it happened to me. And she and her brothers and sisters saw the same thing, and she actually tasted it.
Oh,
she actually.
And was it good? It tasted like spider webs.
Well, I know. Well, no, she said actually that it wasn't until they came out with these little breast strips, like these little, you know, those little breast strips.
I'll tell you what, Kirsten, I need to stop you there. We need to take a break. Kirsten Blackburn, Jay King, Stuart Davis. We'll come back talking about the experiencer group. I'm talking with Stuart Davis, Jay King, Kirsten Blackburn about the experiencer group. I think Robbie Williams would be right at home with this group, because he's had several experiences, different kinds of experiences that are discussed in this group. And it's sort of a safe haven for people to talk about things that have happened to them without trolls, without debunkers, without people poking fun at them. How it works and how big it's becoming are what we're going to get into next in the segment on Coast to Coast AM. We'll be right back. Kirsten Blackburn, Jay King, and Stuart Davis have all had anomalous experiences of different types. They are co-founders of the Experiencer Group. Stuart, to bring you back into the conversation, one of the main goals of creating this platform is so that people have a safe place where they can talk about this without worry about stigma or trolls or debunkers or people laughing and pointing, that kind of a thing. I mean, it's almost like for a group of crime victims in some way.
Yeah, well, a couple of the unique features that we have paid careful attention to curate and have a safe sanctuary, because the site is private. There is a process that we use to just make sure that it stays the friendly, supportive, and deep and curious. I mean, look, it's very true also that these mysteries, these enigmas of various anomalous realms, they're full of a lot of difficult stuff. So that is part of why we place so much emphasis on knowing that typically people that have had experiences have a tough time with it, and what is really needed is a supportive community. So we have, of course, the community site where people can interact with each other, but we also have many, many group meetups in which a dozen or more people from around the world, which also has a rotating emphasis on various types of experiences. So you can have near-death experiencers having their meetups, and of course, abductees, and many, many iterations of that. So there's also a lot of really unique content and original video and audio offerings we have as well. But the real motivation as experiencers, knowing what it's like to, for instance, do a trust fall on Twitter and find yourself being attacked for simply sharing what's probably the most intimate and profound experience of your life, we just knew we didn't want to go that direction. And it's actually been really beautiful. It's been profoundly beautiful. And what we found is that not only are we not struggling to gather people together and have that positive anomalous culture, but we're all starving for it. There are people all over the world who want connection and to find their tribe and to have people who really understand what it's like to try to live through these puzzles and be changed by them. I mean, George, you know as well as anyone from all of these years and decades of experience that these anomalous events oftentimes break up relationships. They're difficult for families. So we wanted to create the ultimate sanctuary to counter that with something really powerful. I would use the word love as one of the big orienting motivators for us. And so far, it's just been absolutely beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad to hear it. I know that, you know, for example, social media has been so great for people to find each other and communicate with like-minded folks, but it's also incredibly negative. I know in the UFO world, it's preposterous how silly it gets and childish and negative and nasty. Anyone who offers a new source of information that doesn't come from somebody else gets pounded relentlessly. It's just awful. And so I imagine that a safe haven is a really good place to share this kind of info. I wonder, there's another clip we want to play. One of my favorite people, Jeff Kripal, who I don't know if he's part of your group or this came on your other platform, Stuart, but maybe you could introduce
this. He's a member.
Okay. Why don't you tell a bit about him and the story he's about to tell?
Oh, this is one of my favorites of all time. I share your love and regard for Jeff. He's so wonderful. And yeah, we did an AMA, and he's been a member on the site. And when he was on Aliens and Artists, he recounted this clip. What we're going to hear is from that. And Jeff is one of the world's foremost authorities on the goddess Kali. Spent a huge part of his career in India, learning Sanskrit and doing deep research into the goddess Kali. And as part of that, he was partaking in a festival. I believe it was a festival expressly for the goddess Kali. And he ended up almost being killed by this spiritual energy event, which I'll let him describe. But it was absolutely life-changing. And it's one of the more exotic experiencer accounts that I've heard on aliens and artists. So that's what this is coming up here.
All right. Jeff Kripal is a professor of religious studies at Rice University, a brilliant man, an author, and here we go.
I woke up one early morning, but my body didn't. My body was paralyzed, and I was sort of conscious of this. And while I was conscious, this energy, this incredible, erotic, but terrifying energy sort of came out of me or entered me and started to do things to my body in ways that I was not in control of. And I thought I was being electrocuted. That was sort of my first thought. That's how strong it was. And then I thought I was dying because it was not subtle. And at some point, these energies just sort of imploded into my heart region as if I were having a heart attack, say. And as it happened, I floated out, kind of that classic out-of-body or near-death experience, and floated up to this, what felt like a magnet sort of pulling me out of my body. But I eventually essentially climbed back into my body and got my muscles back and sat up in bed. And I was just like, you know, holy God, that was intense. But it felt like, looking back on it, like a massive download, but a download that I couldn't process. I had no context for whatever it was that downloaded into me.
So Stuart, of the different kinds of experiencers that share stories on your group, how many of them are physically profound like that, where they feel like they're going to die?
Well, there's a real rich variation. They certainly find a lot of that. You know, many of the near-death accounts involve traumatic events, whether that be a lightning strike or whatever the modality is that's causing people's body to cease functioning. Those are tough physical, corporeal events that then transition into exalted, out-of-body or near-death, other realms, as we know from that literature. So, but there is a real variety in the landscape. You'll find some that are quite subtle, and they have a much more soft touch to them. I mean, one of the things that I found fascinating about Jeff's account there is that quasi-electrified current that he's describing as being the fundamental medium of that event. And I don't know if it's synonymous or truly similar, but of course, in my experience, I felt like I was being electrocuted, basically. Whatever that current was that was shot into my body doesn't sound entirely dissimilar to Jeff's experience. But of course, you know, there are different parts of the world. There was other kind of entity. I mean, ostensibly, I think he's perhaps thinking that the goddess Kali or that a divine presence of some kind was part of that sacred experience. But one of the beautiful things about Jeff's work is that he's so clear that the divine and the sacred and these anomalous experiences, they can be really dangerous. They can be really unpredictable, and they do go south for people sometimes. So it's nothing to toy with, and often it comes unbidden, unexpected, and irreversible. So I don't know if that totally answers your question, but I would just say in a nutshell that there's a real wide variety, and you find it every permutation you could think of, from the physical to the quite exalted and numinous.
Jay, I want to come back to you. So you shared a little bit of what sounded like poltergeist experiences at that house in Indiana. Did it follow you and follow your family? Did it stick around?
Yeah, and that's one of the interesting things here, is that, like, you know, this is back, you know, that happened back, this is like in the late 80s, right? And similar activity happened at a house later in Minnesota. Oddly enough, like just miles from where Stuart was at the time, though we didn't know each other back then, of course. And, you know, back then, of course, in the 80s and 90s, the web was like a very different landscape. You know, it was pretty rudimentary in comparison to where it is now, of course. And we just didn't have the resources. And so, like, with the experiencer group, there's an element of just being able to compare notes. And one of those things is, like, you know, when that stuff happened, we were like, oh my God, does this ever happen? Because the the hallmarks were so similar with the poltergeist activity, these kind of like shadow figures, even ghost apparitions. It just felt so much the same. And of course, back then we didn't know about like hitchhiker phenomena, right? And that wasn't something that was really on our, that wasn't on the radar for us as a family. It wasn't on the radar, culturally speaking. And, you know, that's the kind of stuff that with the experiencer group, like we can really see there's all these kinds of like aspects of being able to compare notes among us where we see these kinds of effects, these side effects, these common traits that happen. And it's really amazing stuff.
I know one of the notes that I had received from Stuart was about sort of how the experiencer group works, and the people can sort of, in his words, find their tribe on the site. I was wondering if you and then Kirsten, whether you stick to your tribe, people have poltergeist experiences, or are you sampling what the other groups might have to see if there are commonalities there?
You know, I'm very interested to hear what Kirsten has to say, but I think that I have a relatively diverse range of experience, and that it, the weird thing is that there's a lot of people as we see with the experiencer group as it's grown, but that many people have more than one modality. You know, it's not just ghosts. It's not just precognition. It's not just it often kind of comes in waves, or it comes in these different directions almost. And so it's almost like, you know, they turn the radio on and then they just leave it on when they leave or something like that. And then you're just going to get these signals. To answer your question, I respond to these signals pretty broadly, and I love hearing every range of experience that we see on the site.
And Kirsten, same question for you then. Do you sample the other kinds of topics unrelated to experiences that you've had personally?
Oh, yes, definitely. And exactly what Jay just said. I mean, it seems like once you've had an anomalous experience, you just continue to have other anomalous experiences. I mean, it's really, really interesting how, you know, someone may have a profound UFO sighting and then discover that in themselves, they have like increased amounts of empathy. They have, suddenly they're having more precognitive dreams. They are seeing, getting messages from the other side. It's fascinating, actually. And, you know, when we were working with the Richard Dolan site, we actually really focused on the experiencers and what kinds of experiences they had and put them together so that they could really compare notes. And this is also something that, you know, we intend to do with the experiencer group, is to just get people together who've had similar experiences, but also have these open meetings where we can talk about everything, because it's quite surprising how much it runs the gamut.
And Stuart, for you, I mean, you not only want to learn all the experiences that people have had, so you can just, you know, fill your own database, satisfy your own curiosity, but to help people in their regular lives. It's not just a place to share weird stories, that unburdening themselves with this and hearing about other people's experiences can help them just in day-to-day stuff.
Absolutely. Part of my personal journey in looking into my own experiences and navigating how to create a healthy, balanced life out of that, which is always an ongoing riddle. We're always living. But that, in addition to my friendship with John Mack and Kirsten, Jay, the hundreds of people that I've now heard from, you know, George, I'm sure you can appreciate, like, once you go on coast and tell your mantis story, like, I've heard from hundreds of other mantis experiencers. And so I became really curious about what practical tools we could acquire in order to try to help people. So I got certified in hypnotherapy, transpersonal hypnotherapy, and certified in death doula work as well. And just as Kirsten and Jay were relating, that we find so much intersection and surprising tetherings among all these varieties of anomalous experiences. You do have near-death events which have an adjacency to some contact events, non-human entity. And so those certifications, but I think more generally with our community as well, is this desire to have an extension of the positive anomalous culture be really helping people to heal, to integrate, if they've got trauma, to be able to integrate that into a healthier life going forward. And definitely in looking into the mystery of all these enigmas is a huge part of our passion, but we also really want people to be able to heal and have the support and the reality that they deserve. People deserve to be able to move on and have rich lives and also be an experiencer and be able to claim that part of their life in a positive way. So I really feel passionate about that. And I think that we're also seeing a kind of a gradual attrition of sorts, not in a negative way, but a lot of the folks who pioneered, from Bud Hopkins to John Mack to David Jacobs, Barbara Lamb, there's an aging population of the people who have previously been doing a lot of that work in the past. And so I feel like we're feeling inspired and motivated to try to cultivate a new support system for experiencers of all kinds.
Yeah, you need a new generation for that. Like, as for UFOs and the other subjects that are sort of wheels, spokes on the wheel that we're kind of talking about here.
Yes, definitely. And that goes for many of these domains. I mean, if you look at the work of Ian Stevenson, which I know Jim Tucker has taken up, and but that's been going on for more than a half a century there. So a lot of these institutions and communities, it's time. Like, we're ripe to bring in a new generation and get some vital new perspectives. And that is happening. I mean, we feel that very much happening within our community, and I see great examples of it in other places as well. I think things are moving. Like, there's, as you were relating at the top of the show, like, something is afoot, and it's not just a private little club thing. I think there's a plate tectonic shift happening in the interior of our collective as well.
We're talking with Stuart Davis, Jay King, and Kirsten Blackburn about the Experiencer Group. Much more to come here, how you can find them, how you can join them, we'll be opening up the phone lines in the next hour as well to see what's in your mind, what you want to share.